Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court issues an amazing ruling, and it holds that nominal damages can stop government gamesmanship. We're going to explain what that means and its widespread impact on faith and freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, let's start with a story, how this all started with this college student wanting to share his faith on a taxpayer-funded campus. He wanted to go out, share information, and talk to students about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this was a situation of Chike, that's his first name, and he went to a college in Georgia, and he wanted to distribute literature and talk about Jesus Christ. They first said, well, you can only go to a free speech zone. It's only one of two, but it only occupies like less than 10% of the campus. And I should say it's only open about less than 10% of the week, and it only is about 1% or less of the campus.
Let's put that in perspective. Like if you had a football field, it'd be like a piece of paper.
You're going to the corner of the football field.
A piece of paper.
Probably even in the end zone.
Right.
And that's where they say, okay, yeah, you can go there and do that. So he does that. He complies. And then the campus police say, no, you can't do it. It's too controversial. It's abortion. And so he files suit. So the college doesn't respond to a demand letter. They ignore it. Then they get sued, brought into federal court, and they start to defend it. Then they start looking at the tea leaves. Well, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to fare too well on this particular case. And now we're months down the road. Lots of time, lots of energy. They have refused the whole time to comply. They want to drag it out until these individuals are graduated, and then they'll say, well, it's moot. So here's what they do. After they read the tea leaves and they say, you know what, we may not win this case.
You know, they stopped him twice from speaking out.
Right.
And then there was another student who wanted to share his faith too.
And here's the problem.
But it chilled
Once
him.
They stop that person from speaking and the other person gets chilled because he says, well, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. So that person doesn't even begin to pass out literature. He wanted to do the same thing.
Right. Then
those days will never be recoverable.
Right.
And those people that they would otherwise be able to have contact with, that day is gone forever.
And he has a First Amendment right to do that, to share
his
faith.
And that's why every day you are not allowed to speak under constitutional law is called irreparable harm, because you can never replicate that day.
Can't get it back.
That you missed.
Right.
You can't get it back. So then what they did was they voluntarily, I say voluntarily, they amended their policy and allowed the speech. Now that's good. Good. But then they say to the plaintiff and to the law firm, see you later. It's nice knowing you. Don't ever come back again. We're gonna dismiss this case and stop the court from ultimately reaching its decision, and thus also prevent any attorney's fees that the offender would have to give to the plaintiff.
Sounds like the coward's way out.
This is what happens all the time. It's
yeah.
the same thing that happens, Holly, in these governor executive orders regarding churches. What do? Well, these governor executive orders, they have a life expectancy, literally nationwide, of between 2 to 4 weeks. And then they're changed and they're amended. And they are constantly extended. But from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, there's a different executive order, a different amendment to it. And so you file suit because they're restricting churches, saying that you can't meet. And if you do, it's criminal law violation, like in California, up to a year in jail, thousands of dollars in fines, and then they actually take action against you. So you actually file suit. Then what do? The life expectancy of these executive orders, you know, goes through its 2 to 4 week lifespan, and then they amend it. Then they file something in court and they say, all right, see you later. Nice knowing you. Goodbye. The case is moot. And then that prevents you from actually getting a court ruling regarding the constitutional issues.
Right. That happened to us with our Romanian churches when we went to the Supreme Court, didn't it? He changed his mind quickly.
Right. And now they're arguing that the case is moot.
Right.
And so they're doing this all over the country, and we have to argue, no, it's not moot, and we have to go through reasons why. But this is how they try to play these games. And then not only have you spent time, and in some cases months, in some cases could be a couple years, then they change just before you get a judgment. there's no penalty that they pay the attorney's fees. Now, we don't charge our clients anything, but when we prevail against one of these government offenders, we can ask the court to provide attorney's fees and costs.
Right. It costs a lot of money to defend people, and we do it gratefully, but it does cost.
It does cost. So this particular case, they said, well, the case is moot. The lower court agreed, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, in an 8-1 decision, said no. Why? Because the case, as we always do, asks for what's called nominal damages. That's like a dollar, something very small. Our cases are almost never about money. These clients are wanting to be able to engage in free speech, free exercise of religion. They're not wanting a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They're looking for vindication. And then these government officials, if they can avoid the constitutional declaration, if they can avoid paying attorney's fees and cost, if they can just drag you down the road and then change and then say goodbye, they can continually do that. And the reason here is another. Let me give you another example. A student is graduating, they're valedictorian or in some position like that. Now they're going to give a message. They're going to thank God during their message, and the school censors that person. Now you file suit, and the school says, well, it's moot. The person's already graduated, so you never get the constitutional declaration you need. So these schools can play these games. These government officials can play the games. This case said no more. In an 8-1 decision, they said that it goes all the way back to the common law, and it's been part of our system, that when you request nominal damages, as little as a dollar, even though there is a change of circumstances, such as they change the policy, they stop their unconstitutional restriction, the student, for example, graduates or whatever it might be, the executive order by the governor, its 2-4-week lifespan has run its course and it's now a different one than what you did in the original lawsuit, that the courts with this nominal damage claim still need to reach the merits because you can still be redressed. What their argument used to be is, obviously, you have to have an injury. Well, this person had an injury. You have to have it traceable, which means, yes, my injury in this case was I couldn't distribute literature. It's traced to the school that says I couldn't. And then the final one is it has to be redressable. And this is where they would always go. Well, it's not redressable because even if we ruled in your favor, there's no more bad policy. It's not redressable because the executive order is now changed. It's not redressable because, oh, well, the student has already graduated. And this court said, no, if you have a dollar in your request, in your original complaint, or what's called nominal damages, which all of our cases have nominal damage claims, then the case is able to move forward and the court can reach the underlying judicial declaration. You can get your constitutional judicial decree. And then, of course, if it's in your favor, then the other government offending entity is required to pay attorney's fees and costs. This is a great case. Mm-hmm. It goes far beyond the specific facts of this person wanting to distribute literature on a college campus.
Basically, it's saying the government cannot play games of constitutional whack-a-mole.
That's right.
Right.
Because that's exactly what they've been doing. And it's been so frustrating.
Right.
I mean, we've had this in the past where we send out a demand letter, may send out a second demand letter, and then they say no, or they don't respond. Then you spend all these hours and hours. It takes a long time to put together a federal lawsuit. It takes, you know, hours and hours. And then you put it together and you're spending all this time and resources. And then you file suit. And then they defend it. And then you're putting in more resources. And the defense can go on for a period of time, a long time. But just before the court is ready to make a decision, they change their policy.
Oh, just kidding.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was just a bad joke. Yeah. I hope you don't get out of joint over this. We're going to change it and see you later.
Right.
And they close the doors to the court on you.
And then the plaintiff is at a loss.
And then the same offender can do the same thing after they've dismissed your case. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what happens with all these governors' executive orders where they put them on churches. They constantly change and they constantly say, I'm sorry, you know, we've changed it.
Well, we didn't mean that.
Nothing to see here. Go on.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. In this case, 8-1, only Chief Justice John Roberts was the one to dissent. Otherwise, it was a huge 8-1 decision, big implications for all of our cases, including cases right now that we have pending at the United States Supreme Court with regards to these governor's executive orders. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.